to transform the world. Learn more at skoll.org. And Jarl and Pamela Mohn, focusing on civil liberties, foster youth, public radio, and the arts.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on Baby J's Legacy of Hope, serving Lawrence and the surrounding areas, providing financial and emotional support to families that are navigating a pediatric cancer diagnosis. Details at babyjslegacy.org.
It's 52 degrees in Lawrence, 53 in Manhattan. It is 6:06.
On Sunday, writing, quote, "Dad, your light will never fade."
Lovely. You are listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 91.3 FM in Junction City, many other frequencies all around the state, and always streaming worldwide at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas City PBS, featuring Nick Haines and local guest experts sharing insights and context around major news stories on Weekend Review, Fridays at 7:30 p.m. Information at kansascitypbs.org.
Thanks so much for tuning in. We will have an update of news headlines in just about 11 minutes. Before we get to 7 o'clock, we will hear from the Planet Money team to talk about the sanctions imposed by the U.S. on Iran. Did they do any good? Did they cause more harm than otherwise? Planet Money wants to know, and we'll find out with them coming up on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Cromwell Solar. Since 1982, installing independent energy systems such as backup batteries and solar panels for farms, homes, and businesses. More information at cromwellsolar.com.
Following All Things Considered this evening on your KPR One stations, we will hear Classics Live tonight. A rebroadcast of the Sunflower Music Festival Orchestra with some Haydn and some Beethoven. That's coming your way at 7:01 on KPR 1. If you're joining us on KPR 2 at 7 o'clock, we have Prairie Journal. Lows in the mid-30s tonight, highs in the lower 60s tomorrow. It's 51 degrees in Lawrence, and the time is 6:20. Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations, both KPR 1 and KPR 2. Join us for Morning Edition from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. Matthew Algio will have your regional news.
Support for KPR comes from Peasley Tech in Lawrence, Kansas. The Peasley Promise offers debt-free career training for local high school students and low-income Douglas County residents. Details and donation information at peasleytech.org/peasleypromise.
News headlines are coming up in just about 35 seconds. It's 50 degrees in Lawrence. And the time is 6:30.
Paul Rose, NPR News, Washington.
Well, stocks finish lower across the board on Wall Street. This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. The Kansas Senate has advanced a bill that critics say could strain school resources for students who are at risk of struggling academically. The amount schools receive in at-risk funding is based on the number of students who are eligible for free or reduced price lunches. The proposed law would force schools to gather income information from more families in order to receive at-risk funding. Republican State Senator Doug Shane said many students are receiving free meals in error, thus causing the state to improperly pay schools millions of extra dollars.
And so a little bit of effort, I think, to make sure that we are allocating our funds and distributing funds appropriately, I think, is certainly worth it.
Some critics, however, say the policy will take a lot of staff time to verify each family's income. About 200,000 students in Kansas qualified for free lunch in the 2023-24 school year. Prosecutors in Jackson County, Missouri, say it was no joke when a man made online threats against Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes and tight end Travis Kelce at a 2024 concert at Arrowhead Stadium. As Sam Zeff explains, they'd like to see the prosecution continue.
Aaron Brown from Illinois went by Gooey Bag on the social media platform X. Police say he threatened to shoot Mahomes or Kelce if he saw them at a Morgan Wallen concert. Court documents say police saw a tweet from Brown saying that if he saw either Chiefs star player, he would, quote, take the effing shot. Brown asked the court to dismiss the charges, saying it wasn't a true threat and came from an account where he admitted saying stupid things. Prosecutors opposed dismissal and in a filing Monday said Brown recklessly communicated a threat which delayed the concert 40 minutes while police searched the stands for Brown. If the case is not dismissed, a jury trial is set for April. I'm Sam Zeff.
Flu levels in Kansas are very high, according to the CDC. While influenza A remains the most prevalent strain, health officials say cases of influenza B have been rising as well. But the good news is that the overall levels have stabilized. KSN reports that Kansas is one of seven states nationally in the very high category. You're listening to KPR.
Money comes from Charles Schwab, offering investors choices like full-service wealth management, advice, investing, and trading on Thinkorswim. Learn more at schwab.com.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join me, Nick Carswell, for 105 Live this week with the first of our six-part series of performances from the LG Desk Concert 2026 with Kansas jazz legend Bobby Watson. Recorded live from the Topeka State House in the office of Lieutenant Governor David Toland, Bobby Watson is our special guest on 105 Live this week, Saturday 5 p.m. and noon Sunday on Kansas Public Radio.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence. Also at 96.1 FM in Lawrence, many other frequencies all around the state. Bringing you public media. You can listen online whenever you like at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from the Lawrence Times, an online news publication with an emphasis on stories that affect residents of Lawrence, Douglas County, and Kansas. Information at lawrencekstimes.com.
We do still have another 11 minutes of All Things Considered yet to come. If you're listening on KPR One stations, up next we have Classics Live, a performance from the Sunflower Music Festival Orchestra. If you're listening to us on KPR Two, up next we have Prairie Journal, all coming your way at 7 o'clock.
Support for KPR comes from Au Marché, the European market located in downtown Lawrence, featuring Valentine's Day treats from both Europe and the region, including chocolates from Wichita's Coco Dolce and Kansas City's Christopher Aldo.
Mostly clear skies overnight, lows in the mid-30s. Tomorrow mostly sunny. It's going to be warm for this time of year, high in the lower 60s. We have a 70% chance of rain late tomorrow night. 50 degrees in Lawrence, 51 in Manhattan. It's 10 minutes before 7.
Stability, upward mobility, and economic prosperity, regardless of race, gender, or geography. Kauffman.org. From the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation, celebrating a century of supporting efforts to promote a just, equitable, and sustainable society. More at mott.org/100. And from the sustaining members of this NPR station.
As thousands of federal immigration agents prepare to leave Minnesota, where do they go next? That story on the next Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock on your KPR stations for Morning Edition, the very latest national, international, and regional news. Matthew Algio will be your local host.
Everyone can leave a gift to KPR through their will. It's an inspired way to support an organization that's enriched your life and that of others in your community. Learn more about leaving a legacy gift to KPR at kansaspublicradio.org.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Up next, we have Classics Live this week. Performance from the Sunflower Music Festival Orchestra. Some Beethoven coming up, some Haydn coming up. Of course, at 9 o'clock tonight, we will shift gears. Get ready for music from the vinyl vault with Jazz in the Night. We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANB and KANB HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, KANQ Chanute 90.3. Listen on the web at kansaspublicradio.org. or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio.
Support for KPR comes from Kansas City Chamber Orchestra, presenting the Music of Love, featuring a lineup of music for Valentine's weekend, as well as dinner and wine pairings, Friday, February 13th at 6:30 p.m. at the Kemper Museum. More at kcchamberorchestra.org.
The time is 7:01. This is KPR.
the overture to Mozart's opera, The Marriage of Figaro. Applause for the Chamber Orchestra of the Sunflower Music Festival 2025, led by this year's special guest conductor, Joanne Falletta. She's usually directing her Buffalo Philharmonic in New York, but Sunflower was lucky enough to get her to come back this summer. I'm Cordelia Brown, and welcome to Classics Live from KPR. And welcome to the White Concert Hall at Washburn University. The orchestra's getting ready now to have their principal trumpet player, David Ammer, in his 16th consecutive summer of joining the Sunflower Music Festival. Now a classic for trumpet and orchestra, the Concerto in E-flat by Franz Joseph Haydn.
Thank you.
directed by one of the most famous and well-respected conductors in the world, Joanne Faletta. The Sunflower Music Festival 2025 Chamber Orchestra, accompanying their first trumpet, David Ammer. David comes all the way from Detroit each summer to play in this annual summer festival of chamber and orchestral music. It's a week plus of free classical and jazz concerts. To find out more about this great festival, their 2025 program book is still available online at sunflowermusicfestival.org. You know, people are still reminiscing about the fiery, powerful sound Maestro Joanne Faletta coaxed from the orchestra in the summer of 2019 when they did Beethoven's Fifth. Well, now back on stage is Joanne Faletta to direct the chamber orchestra in Beethoven's Second Symphony. A bit more pastoral in nature, and maybe more in the classical style of Haydn or Mozart instead of the blazing romanticism of Beethoven's Fifth. From 1802, here's the Second Symphony of Ludwig von Beethoven. a very happy audience here in White Concert Hall at Washburn in Topeka, with special guest conductor Joanne Valletta, leading the Sunflower Music Festival Chamber Orchestra through the four movements of Beethoven's Second Symphony. Raised in Queens by an Italian-American family, Joanne Valletta worked hard through the Manus School of Music and then the Juilliard School. Originally a guitar and mandolin player, the young Joanne would often play for the Metropolitan Opera and the New York Philharmonic for those classical pieces needing those instruments in the pit or on stage. Joanne Valletta showed such promise as a musician. She was personally coached by Leonard Bernstein back in the day when she took his conducting classes. At home now with her own orchestra, the Buffalo Philharmonic. She had a few weeks this summer that she could spend in Topeka, Kansas, to lead this orchestra at the Sunflower Music Festival. We're so glad you could join us tonight in the virtual audience of Classics Live from KPR. KPR sound engineer Chuck Smith recorded the concert, and I'm Cordelia Brown. Happy to have shared these good seats with you. Broadcasts of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio.
another recording from the KPR Live Performance Studio from David Olin Baird's Garden Suite. That was June. Played by Kansas City musicians Elena Lentz-Talley, Robert Farrago, Anne Radek-Bilderbach, and Shannon Finney. This has been Classics Live from KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for Classics Live on Kansas Public Radio comes from the University of Kansas, creating options, outcomes, and opportunities for Kansas and the world. Information about KU programs and research is at ku.edu. This is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, where KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3, and KANQ Chanute at 90.3. You can listen online at kansaspublicradio.org, the app, or tell your smart speakers to play Kansas Public Radio.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. A partial shutdown of the Department of Homeland Security is imminent. As NPR's Barbara Sprunt reports, Congress failed to pass a bill to fund DHS through the end of September.
The failed vote was expected after Senate Democrats pledged not to support it without major changes to department policies in the wake of two fatal shootings by immigration enforcement in Minneapolis. Both parties have been negotiating on a series of proposals for the department, but no consensus has been reached. Democrats have said that any changes must be made through the legislative process, not by executive order, in order to ensure that they're codified into law. Barbara Sprunt, NPR News, Washington.
Last October, under pressure from the Department of Justice, Apple removed several ICE agent tracking programs from the App Store. The developer of one of these apps is now suing the federal government. From member station WFIU, Ethan Sandweiss reports.
Eyes Up verifies and shares videos of confrontations with ICE. It's still active on Android, but its founder, Mark Hodges, says the user base hasn't recovered since Apple took it down, saying it posed a safety risk to law enforcement. He has now filed suit against Pam Bondi and Christy Noem, saying that by pressuring Apple, they're violating the First Amendment.
I think it's especially important when we have a government that is saying, you can't believe what you see with your own eyes, to have evidence that shows what's really happening.
Hodges is filing jointly with Cassandra Rosado, a Chicago resident whose Facebook page tracking ICE sightings was disabled by that platform. They're represented by the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. For NPR News, I'm Ethan Sandweiss.
The IRS says it erroneously shared the taxpayer information of thousands of people with the Department of Homeland Security, according to a new court filing. It was part of the agency's agreement to share information to identify and deport people illegally in the U.S. The move potentially violates privacy rules to protect taxpayer data. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee held nomination hearings for several top State Department posts today. Nominees include a man who joked that Iceland should be part of the U.S. and another who has a record of sexist and racist comments, as NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
Former Congressman Billy Long says he apologized for his quip that Iceland should become the 52nd state. The ranking Democrat on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Jean Shaheen, says what diplomats say matters. She also questioned Jeremy Carl's fitness to be Assistant Secretary of State for International Organizations.
In 2024, you wrote that you want America to be a Christian nation, and you continued to make anti-Semitic and racist comments even after your nomination was announced last year.
Carl says he knows diplomats need to restrain themselves, but says his current job at the Claremont Institute, a conservative think tank, involves advocacy. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, the State Department.
U.S. stock indexes fell sharply today. The S&P 500 sank more than 1.5%. It's NPR.
Stardate February 12th. The surface of Ariel looks like a sheet of paper that's been loosely crumpled. It's covered with ridges, wrinkles, and gashes. That may be telling us that Ariel once had a deep ocean of liquid water. Ariel is one of the larger moons of the planet Uranus. It's about 720 miles in diameter, a third the size of our moon. It orbits just 100,000 miles from the planet, much closer than the moon is to Earth. It's roughly a 50-50 mix of ice and rock. Our only good look at Ariel came in 1986. Voyager 2 flew past it and photographed about a third of its surface. The pictures revealed a complex face. It has a mixture of old and young craters, deep ridges, and smooth plains that might have been paved by water gurgling up from inside the moon. A recent study modeled the orbit of Ariel over the ages. It found that the orbit was once much more lopsided than it is today. As Ariel moved in and out, the gravity of Uranus stretched and squeezed the little moon. That could have melted some of the ice inside it, creating an ocean 100 miles deep, topped by a thin crust of ice. The stress of all the stretching and squeezing could have cracked the ice, creating the wrinkly surface we see today. Uranus is high overhead at nightfall. It's below the Pleiades star cluster and farther to the right of the bright orange star Aldebaran. Through good binoculars, the planet looks like a faint star. McDonald Observatory offers workshops, guides, and other resources for teachers. Details at mcdonaldobservatory.org. And for the McDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
Hi, I'm Jake Armerding. Well, as you might have experienced, it's sure a lot easier to get your work approved when you're the head of the company, calling all the shots. Czech composer Bedřich Smetana was musical director of the Provisional Theater in Prague in the 1860s, so staging his own opera was kind of an easy sell. It was one of those, do I approve my own work? Why, yes, I do, kind of situations. It's nice to have complete creative control. It wasn't all smooth sailing for Smetana. He was starting to go deaf at the time. He later ended up going blind as well. But he kept composing through all of it. Here's the overture from his first opera after the deafness had set in. It was called The Kiss, performed appropriately enough by the Slovak State Philharmonic. That's Robert Stankowski leading the Slovak State Philharmonic, the overture from The Kiss by Smetana. Coming up, Jean Sibelius makes his deadline. Sort of.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from the University of Kansas, serving Kansas and the world through social and behavioral approaches to developmental disability research. Information about research at KU is at ku.edu. And Kaiser Cummings Jewelers, more than 35 years of custom-design handcrafted jewelry in downtown Lawrence. Collection online at kaisercummings.com. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 49 and fair. Wind is from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, clear with a low in the low 30s. Wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow, clear with a high in the low 60s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, a few showers with a low in the low 40s. It's 49 and fair. Stay tuned for more KPR weather.
Jean Sibelius wrote this great violin concerto, but he barely finished it in time for the premiere. And the violinist that he chose was kind of meh. You see where I'm going with this. The premiere was an unqualified disaster. Even great composers can be overly optimistic when it comes to logistics. Here is a much better version of Sibelius' violin concerto performed by the violinist Hilary Hahn, who is the opposite of meh.
Thank you.
Swiss watch of violin playing, Hilary Hahn. Oh, perfectly calibrated. I think she played a note out of tune back in 2009 or something. Esa-Pekka Salonen conducting the Swedish Radio Symphony Orchestra, the Violin Concerto by Sibelius. The men's downhill event coming up.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from Eagles Rest Natural Home, located in downtown Lawrence, specializing in toxin-free, customizable natural mattresses, bedding, and sustainably made furniture. Online at EaglesRestNaturalHome.com. And the Lead Center, welcoming a cappella quartet King's Return, performing a wide range of music genres and styles, on Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. Tickets available at lead.ku.edu.
I'm Maria Lopez. Now here's your weather forecast for the KPR listening area. It's 48 and fair. Wind is from the north. Tonight clear with a low in the low 30s. Wind will be from the southeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Then tomorrow clear with a high in the low 60s. Wind will be from the northeast at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow night a few showers with a low in the low 40s. It's 48 and fair. That's KPR weather.
Well, if you've been enjoying the Winter Olympics as much as I have, here's some music for you. It's a ski piece from American composer Carter Penn. This is called Slalom.
Thank you.
Coming into the finish line there, Paavo Järvi conducting the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra, Slalom by Carter Pan.
Support for classical music on KPR comes from the Sulis Fine Art 20th Annual Winter Auction, featuring Kansas artist Berger Sanzane, along with historic works by KU faculty Raymond Eastwood, Robert Sudlow, and Albert Block. Details at MidwestArtAuction.com. And Kansas Tree Care. Winter dormancy is the ideal season for pruning mature trees, especially elms and oaks. More information at KansasTreeCare.com or by calling 785-843-TREE. From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio, KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, KANQ Chanute, as well as online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. Border Czar Tom Homan says President Trump has agreed to end the immigration crackdown in Minnesota. Homan says local law enforcement is responding more quickly and working with federal officials. Democratic Governor Tim Walz says the state is now entering a recovery phase, as Minnesota Public Radio's Matt Sepik reports.
Governor Tim Walz says he is cautiously optimistic that Trump will keep his word. The Democratic governor says Homan personally assured him that agents are leaving immediately. Now, Walz says the operation caused an economic crisis here similar to COVID and left the state with generational trauma. The governor says the feds need to pay for what they broke, but for now he's urging state lawmakers to approve an aid package for small businesses.
Minnesota Public Radio's Matt Sepik reporting. A partial shutdown of the Department of Homeland Security appears certain. Congress is set to leave Washington for a 10-day break while negotiations with the White House over Democrats' demands for new restrictions on immigration enforcement have stalled. A federal judge has approved Arizona Democratic Senator Mark Kelly's request to block the Pentagon from demoting him over his past comments criticizing the Trump administration. NPR's Elena Moore reports the former Navy captain filed the lawsuit accusing the defense secretary of punishing him for his political speech.
Senator Kelly, an outspoken Trump critic, was one of several Democrats who participated in a video posted online last fall urging American service members to refuse illegal orders. It sparked intense backlash from President Trump and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth, who later announced a review of Kelly's retirement grade, which could lead to a demotion and decrease in the senator's retirement pay. But that's now on hold. In granting Kelly's request, Judge Richard Leon argued that Hegseth had, quote, trampled on the senator's First Amendment freedoms and threatened the constitutional rights of millions of military retirees. Elena Moore, NPR News.
Existing home sales fell sharply in January, according to the National Association of Realtors. It's a reversal from the strong sales figures at the end of 2025 that seem to be a signaling an improving housing market. As NPR's Stephen Bisaha reports, many renters remain locked out of home ownership.
Existing home sales fell almost 8.5% compared with December. Some of that could be blamed on bad weather, but also on consumers feeling down about the economy, making them less likely to move. The median sales price was about $397,000, up just a bit less than 1% compared with a year ago. The good news is wages have grown faster, and the National Association of Realtors says housing affordability is the best it's been in about 4 years. But homeowners and would-be buyers are not looking back 4 years, but five, back when mortgage rates were half what they are today. They have declined a bit over the last year, but homeowners are still reluctant to move and give up their old lower rate. Stephen Misaha, NPR News.
The S&P 500 sank more than 1.5% today, its second worst day since Thanksgiving. It's NPR. Russia has attempted to fully block WhatsApp as it tightens control of online communication and pushes people toward a state-backed alternative. Critics describe the Russian Max app as a surveillance tool. The Kremlin says Meta can restore access to WhatsApp if it follows Russian law. Russia has already blocked major platforms like Facebook since the invasion of Ukraine in 2022. A new congressional report has found a pattern of jailing children instead of providing mental health treatment in many states. NPR's Martin Costi reports.
This report is based on a voluntary survey sent out to juvenile detention facilities around the country. Of those that responded, about half said they've kept children incarcerated when they could be eligible for release for mental health care because that care isn't available. The survey was commissioned by Republican Congresswoman Jen Kiggins and Democratic Senator John Ossoff.
This should shock America's conscience. Children with special needs locked up for extended periods of time instead of getting the mental health care that they need.
Ossoff says this lack of psychiatric care for detained minors is not new, but more complete research is the first step toward legislation to correct the problem. Martin Costi, NPR News.
Apple's lockdown mode is gaining attention after it blocked federal authorities from accessing a reporter's iPhone. The FBI couldn't extract data from Washington Post reporter Hannah Natenson's phone, which is in lockdown mode. It's available on newer Apple operating systems and limits app and website access to protect against spyware. Users must enable it on each device separately. It's NPR.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Fisher Investments. Fisher's dedicated team of specialists provide resources on investing, retirement income, estate planning, and more. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss.
You have found your place for jazz all night long. It's Kansas Public Radio, and I'm Tom Parkinson. Thank you for stopping by to check out some jazz. We're going to start out this hour with something from guitarist Grant Green. With McCoy Tyner on piano, Bob Cranshaw on the bass, and the mighty Elvin Jones behind the drums. From back in 1965, recorded at Rudy Van Gelder's, here's one of Grant Green's tunes. He calls it Green Jeans.